News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and in studio here now with Dr. Dan Thompson, who goes by Dr. Dan, as we were saying here, K-State Vet School. Good to have you here, Dr. Dan.
Well, it's great to be here, Brandon, and welcome aboard.
Appreciate that.
He doesn't know what he's getting into yet.
Oh, he will. He looks sharp, but yeah. I don't think it's going to take long.
It's not going to faze him at all.
No.
No.
So you're in here to talk about all things related to cows, as I understand. You work with cows primarily?
Yeah. I'm a veterinarian that works with cattle. I not only work at K-State, but I spend time dabbling in a bunch of other things, and I'm actually a partner in a veterinary practice called Production Animal Consultation, and we cover about 25% of the fed cattle in the United States in feedlots providing veterinary service. So we're pretty hooked up and moving all the time.
I spent some time living in Nebraska for about 5 years. I imagine you probably venture up there once in a while, too.
Oh, yeah. Lots of good cattle and good cattle people up in Nebraska. And whether you're in that kind of that eastern corn belt or if you get out into the sand hills and then into western Nebraska, it's just unbelievable, the diversity of the cattle operations, and it's very, very similar to what we have here in Kansas.
I lived by a feedlot actually in a small town called Broken Bow, Nebraska,
yeah.
And they've got an 80,000 head feedlot up there, and that's just you could tell that they call it the smell of money up there. It's just kind of like we have the sounds of freedom here over at Fort Riley. That was the smell of money, but and it is. It's a big money making industry here in the Midwest.
Well, the Adams Land and Cattle Company yeah. out of Broken Bow is kind of one of the crown jewels of our beef industry and what they're doing. And then Broken Bow has more veterinarians per capita of almost anybody. I've had former students that have clinics there in Broken Bow, the Longfellow family, just fantastic people in that area.
Yeah, well, that's good. Kind of nice to have a little tie here, a little bit of knowledge here. And I understand, I've watched a little bit of RFD TV in the past, but I understand you have a national talk show that you actually work with on TV.
Yeah, it's called Doc Talk, and Doc Talk has been a television show that we actually started 10 years ago, and it started out by a production company in Topeka coming over and asking me to do a five-minute segment. So we did a five-minute segment on animal welfare or something like that, and they came back the next week and said, would you do another one? And the next thing you know, they said, hey, we would like to have you air on Monday mornings across the state of Kansas and have a segment on the show called Doc Talk that's part of Ag AM in Kansas. And I said, well, okay. So we started shooting one episode a week, and it was just local here in Kansas, and then television stations, Oklahoma City, Joplin, Missouri, Lincoln, Nebraska, started picking up the show, and it started to expand, and that's when RFD approached us and said, hey, would you be interested in taking this on a national level? And we started shooting Doc Talk nationally, I believe this is our eighth season on RFD TV.
Well, that's cool. And it's all produced here locally, huh?
Yeah, we actually shoot it in the basement of the veterinary school here at K-State. We have a traveling set that we go out and we'll work with veterinarians in the field and we'll go to production units and film there as well. And when we started out, we didn't have very many viewers because that weren't very well known. And now we're up to 2 million viewers of Doc Talk, and we'll have 70 to 80,000 people watch it live, and it's a lot of fun. When we started out, it was just my mom and my aunt were watching it, so we had a fan club of two. But we're growing, and I think part of it is we're just pretty lucky to have the resources at Kansas State that we have, the guests that we can have on the show, the veterinarians and producers in the state of Kansas that have taken time to come be on the show and talk about issues. We don't get into the big entertainment area. Ours is more about here are some issues in the beef industry today. Here are things that you need to prepare for. You know, in the spring we'll talk about calving. In the summer we'll talk about turnout and branding. In the fall we'll talk about weaning. In the winter, we'll talk about nutrition for the cows, and we just keep updating it each year so that people can hear and see what they should be doing, what's best for their cattle. We talk about horses. We do some dogs and cats. I mean, everybody has to have a cow dog around and a, you know, barn cat. So we talk about the health of those as well.
How successful has it been, do you think, in having that outlet to reach, you know, people who aren't involved in the ag industry?
It's been awesome. We have people that aren't involved in agriculture that'll email me now because they watch the show and they want to know more about a topic, whether we're talking about vaccinations or antibiotics or steroid implants. And so, you know, the demographics obviously are mostly farmers and ranchers and veterinarians trying to get information. But it has absolutely amazed me that the number of kids that watch it after school. We air on Monday afternoons at 3:30 and Sunday mornings at 6:30, which obviously the farmers and ranchers on Sunday mornings are up and they'll watch it before they go out and do chores. It's been really, really humbling to be walking through an airport somewhere and someone scream out and go, "Hey, you're Dr. Dan," and from Doc Talk or something like that. You don't understand the reach that something like this can have.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. And so I'll look for that this weekend when I'm up early Sunday morning, because I'm usually up. I have kids, so they always get you up early anyway. I don't necessarily work on a farm per se, but I know one of the things here that Manhattan's known for is the great work that they're doing in veterinary health.
Yep.
And one of the things you've brought up here as a topic is addressing the veterinarian shortage here. How bad of a shortage is it, and what steps are being taken to address it?
Well, I think some of the things we talk about, the shortage of veterinarians. There's a shortage of veterinarians in all different areas. You know, I think there's around 30 veterinary schools in the country relative to, you know, hundreds of medical schools. And so that limits us on what we can produce as far as the number of veterinarians. That said, you know, we have growth in the area of more people owning pets than they ever have. And so the small animal veterinary shortage in urban and suburban areas is growing, which then takes the people that, you know, that used to go to rural America to be veterinarians to maybe some of those suburban and urban areas. But I really think it gets back to the veterinary shortage is a couple of things. I think one of the things is we have to realize what a rural veterinarian does. And what a rural veterinarian does is they provide service. They're considered someone similar to a school teacher, to a firefighter, to a police officer, to that rural human doctor. It is a person that is there to provide service and to provide support of the farmers, ranchers, community members that they normally wouldn't have. It's no different than having a plumber, you know, or you know, it's if your dog or cat are sick, we need a veterinarian to help. And so understanding that providing service and the people that we select to go to veterinary school have to have that servant leadership mindset, that they know what they're signing up to do. They're not signing up to be rich and famous. They're signing up to go to do things that they're going to provide a service that other people can't provide in a community. And they're going to help keep Main Street open. They're going to help keep the schools open. And those are people that are paying local option budgets to help support all of these things that we have. So helping veterinarians understand their role, recruiting the right people to come to veterinary school is going to be very, very important.
I understand we have a phone call here. So let's go to the phone lines here on In Focus. Good morning.
I sure love your Doc Talk program on ag in the morning. One of the things I push is those fly parasites. to control the flies at the feedlots or at the small cow-calf operations. None of those came in out of Chautauqua County, the ranchers, and could not believe that the folks' cattle weren't even swishing their tails. And we were in among three non-grade A rated dairies that had flies amazing, so I was able to control them. And just to give you an idea, thought about producing one of the programs about that. But running with the feedlot people, they're all getting older, and a lot of them, the families, don't want any part of it. And I've been talking to the bankers around town trying to get them interested, and the ones out in western Kansas, a lot of them have looked at the books and are concerned about the business practices. You know, even as a vet office, the business practices are really important about things. If you ever run across people that are interested in feedlots, there's an opportunity there. You know, all these guys are wanting to get out of it. They're older. Just a thought.
Yeah,
for being there.
Well, I think it's, first of all, the parasitic wasps and things like that are great tools. Man, we've had great luck with them, and I appreciate you bringing those up. We used to use them in our compost piles and around the feedlots a lot to attack our fly issues, along with, you know, making sure that we get hay swept up and cut weeds down and do things that don't give the flies a place to get away and get out of the wind. But yeah, I think regardless of what we're talking about in agriculture or veterinary medicine, you know, we do have some gray hair and long teeth out there that I just think that young folks that are excited about agriculture, you know, the growing global population and the growth of economic infrastructure in countries that have been third world or developing countries is going to increase. And so the demand for meat is going to go up, not going to go down. And I just think that it's about as exciting time to be involved with agriculture and to get involved. You know, if you're worried about the cattle prices and things like that, work with a banker, work with risk management. Even some of the packers will do some risk adjustment and help with you to feed cattle or to produce cattle. But I can't think of anything more important than producing food, which is something that man cannot live without.
Yeah, you're always going to need it here. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Dr. Dan here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.